All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
Christmas, you can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. So are you going to be home for Christmas? That's what we're going to be talking about today. It's all you veterans out there. We want to have you contact us and tell us a little bit about where you were during Christmas when you were on active duty. My name is Dale Thronberry, and I get to be the host today. But joining me in the studio is our good friend and partner in crime here today is Kate Melcher. Kate, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. We've got two helicopter pilots sitting in here, so things can get a little bit scary every once in a while. But we're interested in having you call us, if you would, to tell us where you were on Christmas while you were on active duty. We've got a number of questions, we've gotten a number of statements already in because we're giving away something today. Because it is Christmas, we have a free gift for you, but you've got to send us your story or at least where you were when you were, during Christmas on active duty. We have a U.S. Wings bomber jacket from U.S. Wings down in Ohio. This is a $195 leather jacket. It's a beautiful coat, and we are going to pick a winner at the end of the program today. It's not going to be based on your story. We're just keeping a list of everybody who has contacted us on Facebook or by email or by phone call today. And at the end of the program, Kate's just going to take a dart and throw it at it, and that's the person who's going to get the jacket, and then we'll contact you to get the size and address and so forth and send it off to you. So we want to really thank Sergeant Hack down at U.S. Wings for donating the jacket, and I encourage you to go to their website, uswings.com, to check out the other things that they've got there. Speaking of sponsors, I better get this in too. We want to make sure that you are aware that we are brought to you by Legal Help for Veterans. They specialize in veterans' disability claims. For more information, you can call them at 800-693-4800. That's Legal Help for Veterans. The other one is the American House for Senior Living in Westland, Michigan, and this is the American House on Vinoy Street, I believe it is, in Westland, Michigan. That's American House for Senior Living. The Vietnam Veterans of America, Charles S. Kettles Post 310 in Ann Arbor. The Veterans of Foreign Wars, Post 423 in Ann Arbor, and finally the American Legion, Post 46, also in Ann Arbor. We want to thank all those businesses and organizations for the support for Veterans Radio. We couldn't do it without your monetary help. Thank you very much on that. So we've got a couple of organizations that we wanted to mention on the air today. These are charitable organizations that are doing great work to help veterans and to talk to veterans and feed veterans and take care of them and their families. And the first up right now on the line is an organization called Call Sam Kitchen for Veterans. And here to talk all about it in the local area, we'll all recognize the name when I introduce Mark Bernstein. Mark, welcome to Veterans Radio. Okay, we can't hear Mark, so we're going to ask you to call us back. Would you please? Anyway, as things go. Live radio,
live
folks.
Live radio.
This is it. Oh, well, while we're trying to get back with Mark, let's have give you a phone number here. Give us a call. The number here is 734-822-1600. 734-822-1600. So when we started coming up with this idea of asking people where they were, I got an immediate email. He says, "Oh, where were you?" Well, I was working that day, as they say. I had arrived in Vietnam in December of 1968, December 12th exactly is when I arrived, and since I was the new guy in town, or the newbie, as they say, they said other things, but I can't say those on the radio, And so I had to fly on Christmas Day. And I did get to see the Bob Hope show from 1,500 feet. And it was in Long Binh, Vietnam, and it looked like there were about 20,000 people all gathered around this little teeny tiny stage down in the middle. And as we got closer and closer to the to Long Binh itself, suddenly got a call on emergency radio telling us that we were violating the space and to go away. So we did. But anyway, that's my story. Evidently, we've got Mark back on the line, so I'll try this again. Mark, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Dale, Kate, thank you. I'm so glad to be here. Apologize.
That's okay. That's all right. We were just, you know, we're telling stories about where people were in the service, and you've got a great program, it sounds like, going in Detroit called Call Sam Kitchen. What is that all about?
We do, and thanks for letting us give us the opportunity to talk about it. We've been, you know, in my law firm for a long time. We have, you know, veteran military families who work with us as colleagues at the firm, and of course we have many, many clients who are veterans from every branch of the military, every walk of life. And so we got real involved in 2017 with Volunteers of America Michigan, who operate a homeless shelter for military veterans in Detroit that had fallen on some hard times. Funding had been cut. And we came in and we just developed this relationship with Volunteers of America Michigan, mm-hmm. and all of the veterans who use this incredibly important facility. And so as we got to know this organization and the people, the veterans that they help, we just became intertwined in the kind of the life of these veterans. And then when more money was cut, it really began to impact their ability to operate their kitchen, which is the hub, the center of the work that happens at this homeless facility. And so we stepped up, and now we provide in what we call the Call Sam Kitchen, three meals a day, 365 days a year, food, warm meals, for veterans. Oh. And it's not just about, you know, writing a check and supporting supporting this in a monetary way. You know, my colleagues, myself, my family, my brother, my sister, my mom, you know, we go down, from our office during the day, and we take shifts and we help. And it's just been, and we're just so thrilled about the opportunity to be a part of the lives of these veterans who have served us, served our country, and we're serving them now. So it's a blessing to be able to do it.
Well, I'm sure it's much appreciated. Do you know, I was expecting a call from the Volunteers of America. I haven't gotten that one yet. But can you tell me where their facility is? And maybe there's somebody out there listening that could certainly use their help over the holidays.
Yeah, so the facility is in Detroit. Mm-hmm. It is on Michigan Ave down in Detroit, and it's centrally located. It's basically in Midtown in Detroit.
Okay.
If you want more information, real specific information about how to help us in this and join us in this work, we could use all the help we can get. You can go to our website, callsam.com/veterans, and
okay.
There you'll find all kinds of information about how you can get involved in this. So it's not only about for us going to the kitchen and participating and preparing the food and serving the food and paying for the food, but it's also about, you know, really using the opportunity to gather veterans who are struggling, who are homeless, who are struggling with addiction, who are struggling with mental illness in some instances, some who are just down on their luck, who are trying to, you know, get their life back on track. We use the opportunity to sit down and break bread and to help deliver services that help get these veterans back on their feet. It's an absolutely amazing experience for us, and we're going to keep doing this for a really long time.
Well, I think that's great because now I have Laura on the line, and so if I'm going to bring Laura on with us, Laura LeBlanc is from Volunteers of America Michigan. Welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Mark was just telling us all the wonderful things you do, and I'm trying to figure out, where is your facility located in Detroit?
It's right on Milwaukee Avenue, right next to Grand Boulevard, in between Gobian and near Brush. So we're right near, like, in between Midtown and the New Center 1 area, not too far off Woodward. So in a pretty nice location, it makes it easy, too, for our gentlemen who have to get to the VA for their appointments. So we're within a close distance, which is nice.
And so you provide, not only are you providing the food, well, Sam's Kitchen is providing the food and some of the workers, I understand. You provide a lodging for these folks, beds?
Yeah, it's a transitional housing facility. So typically we see our gentlemen who live there are there for about 90 to 120 days. We've been doing this for 8 years now, actually, in this facility. Mm-hmm. So what we're seeing is some of them have more chronic needs and more barriers. So some of them might stay a little bit longer than that. Mm-hmm. But we look to have them housed. This becomes their home. We have 60 beds. And it's an all-male facility. And then inside this facility as well, we have our veteran employment program, and then we also have supportive services for veteran families. So we have veterans who aren't particularly housed here who come retrieve their services from our agency, which is wonderful that the Sam Bernstein Law Firm is partnering, because now not only can we feed all of those and we were able to fill the gap to feed those we serve who live there, but also the community members and the veterans coming in for services who don't live there are also able to get a meal.
Okay. Do you have any women veterans that are staying there?
For housing, we only have, it's an all-male facility to meet regulations, but we do have our Supportive Services for Veteran Families program, which we have 6 offices in there to see our clients, and particularly we see a lot of female veterans have children, so a facility like this wouldn't be helpful. So we want to make sure we can keep them in their home, and we can work with them on addiction prevention. So if we know they have overdue payments with their electricity or their utilities, we can help them combat that. We can help them pay their rent payments, keep them in their home with their children, and we work with them on that.
Well, that's great. So if anybody needed to get a hold of you, how would they do that? Is there a phone number that they could call?
Yeah, they can, if they want to volunteer, they can go to voami.org/volunteer, and they can sign up online. And if they're wanting to get a hold of us to support us in other ways, they can reach us at 248-204-6034.
6034. Right?
Mm-hmm.
248-204-6034. This is Volunteers of America in Michigan, in Detroit, also being supported by the Sam Bernstein Law Firm. They're called Sam Kitchen for Veterans. I want to thank you both very much for being on Veterans Radio. This is the kind of thing that we want to do here on our program, is just make our veterans aware of all of the facilities that are out there for them. So thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye, Mark.
Thank you.
All right. So that's one organization going on, and my guest who is sitting across the table from me happens to belong to another organization that is helping out veterans' families especially. So why don't you tell me a little bit about Fisher House, and you had a story that you wanted to tell us about Christmas at Fisher House.
I do. For those of you that aren't familiar with Fisher House, it's like a Ronald McDonald House for our military and veteran families, so that if a veteran is wounded, ill, or injured and needs to be in the hospital, their families can come and stay right next door for, just temporary housing. That kind of sells it short to say that's all a Fisher House is. One of my colleagues who works at the National Fisher House was telling me a story about Christmas at the Walter Reed Fisher House years ago. And, you know, there are several different organizations and corporations that support the mission of Fisher Houses around the world. And one year there was a bank that decided that they were going to celebrate Christmas in every single Fisher House. They were going to put on a holiday spread. There was going to be food and decorations and you name it. This bank was going to sponsor that event. And to commemorate this gift, the president of that bank was going to meet the president of Fisher House at the Walter Reed Fisher House and celebrate. So my colleague at National was headed there, and he was running a little bit late. And so, you know, he walked in, and the president of the bank made a beeline for him and said, "Brian, do you know what happened here today?" And Brian's like, you know, I don't know. It looks like everybody's having a nice time. You know, the food's almost gone. People are laughing and looks like they're celebrating. And did you save me a plate? And the president of the bank says, no, you don't understand. Two of these families lost their loved one today.
Oh, no.
And David Coker, who's the president of National, just, you know, has the biggest heart in the world. He's a former Army officer before he did this. And, you know, he heard the news about these two soldiers who didn't make it at Walter Reed and went and talked privately to the families and said, you know, we understand if you want your privacy. We understand you have a lot of work to do to, you know, to get your family's affairs in orders and all of this. But, you know, would you just come and let us feed you? We're going to have all of this food and, you know, if it's too much and you just need privacy, that we understand, but just come, just have a plate of food. And these families did. They decided that they would come and they would eat. And because the Fisher House is more than just a hotel, the other families started wrapping their arms around these families that had lost loved ones. Mm-hmm. They started telling stories and sharing memories and telling jokes and laughing and crying and singing. And these people didn't know each other before they stepped in through the doors of a Fisher House. Mm-hmm. But that's what a Fisher House is. It is a built-in support system when you can't be with your family, when you're going through the darkest, most challenging times with your loved one who's wounded or injured. That's what a Fisher House is. And it breaks my heart that we don't have one in Michigan yet for our 650,000 veterans that are resident here.
But we will.
We will. Working hard on it.
We are working hard on that. And I know the Veterans Radio, we support Fisher House. And so we encourage people out there to support Fisher House. And all of the organizations that we talk about here on the program really do need your help. And so you can, you know, just get online and, you know, if you got some extra change lying around and you want to think about something to do with it, there are some great organizations, including Fisher House. We're going to take a real quick break, and when we come back, we want you to call us in and tell us where you were on Christmas. We've got some stories here that we're going to pass along from listeners who have sent us emails and so forth. So be right back. The number again is 734-822-1600. We'll be right back after this.
I gone. Long been. Bearcat. Da Nang, Coochie, Play Coo, Lai K, July, Phucot, Van Rang, and Cameron Bay in Vietnam. From Guam, Wake Island, and Clark Field in the Philippines. From the USS Ranger and the USS Coral Sea on Yankee Station in the Gulf of Tonkin. And from Korat, Udorn, Tak Li, Uban, Nakhon Phanom, and Bangkok, Thailand. The Bob Hope Christmas Special.
The Bob Hope Christmas Special. That guy got around. I'm telling you, when I was looking up these little clips that I wanted to play for everybody out there, there are just hundreds and hundreds of them because he was all over the world, it seemed like, starting in World War II, right up, I think, until the Gulf War I was his last one. And I just wanted to play some of these. Kate and I were talking beforehand. I wanted to play some from the USO shows in Iraq and Afghanistan, but I don't think we'd keep our license.
They're a little more colorful for my generation.
I think they are just a little bit more colorful, and so I didn't want Derek to have a heart attack in there when people start dropping words that, you know, are not allowed to be on the radio. But so hopefully some of you out there were talking, and we do have I have a story here. I got to find it here real quick. Of somebody who did go to the, here it is, okay. Mm-hmm. This is from Butch Mazuka, and Butch writes that the year was 1969, the place was I Corps, the Republic of Vietnam. I was stationed with the 1st Marine Air Wing at Marble Mountain Air Facility next to the big air base at Da Nang when I had the good fortune to meet Commander Neil Armstrong. You remember him, don't you? Neil Armstrong on Christmas Day. The commander was a headliner of Bob Hope's 1969 USO tour, and lucky for me, I wasn't on the mission schedule that day. So on Christmas morning, a squadron mate of mine and I hitched a ride on one of the helicopters ferrying the famed comedian's troupe. As we were riding in the bird making small talk with some of the performers, I recall Connie Stevens asking me how long I'd been in country. Well, I looked at her, smiled, and said something silly like, not long enough to be called short. She said, what do you mean by short? To which Commander Armstrong jumped in and said with a smile, he means he's not going home anytime soon. Amid the polite banter that I don't recall who it was, but someone asked the commander if he or NASA had considered planting the UN flag on the moon instead of Old Glory. Armstrong's response was unequivocal. He said the moon landing was singularly an American achievement, and NASA's thinking was that the American flag should be used to acknowledge that fact. He says he has a lot of memories of Vietnam, some good, some well interesting, but meeting Commander Armstrong on Christmas Day was a highlight of his tour. And signed by Butch Mazuka, call sign Peachbush 26. Thank you very much. Not a very warrior-like call sign, but that's all right. So, Keith, you have one there?
I've got a couple here, and I was sort of chuckling to myself because I speak Army and not Navy, so you'll have to forgive me if I mispronounce some of these Navy ships and whatnot. From Chet Wade, he was in Toulon, France, aboard the USS Henley at Christmas in 1963. And another sailor here says, this is Brad Hager, said he was on the Black Sea aboard the USS Moynihan. It was his first Christmas away from family, but he said he would do it all over again.
I think that's, being away from home at Christmas is always difficult anyway, no matter if you're in college or if you're, away in the service. And at some of these people that wrote these stories, you can feel the emotion in their stories, even though, I was, on a ship or wherever they happen to be. And since both of us speak Army, we don't understand Navy at all. Navy or Air Force. They have a whole different vernacular when it comes to that. So, okay, if you're out there in your Air Force and you're in the Navy or the Marines, give us a call here on Veterans Radio and tell us where you were. Don't forget, you have a chance to win that $195 leather jacket from U.S. Wings. And it's a great thing, and it's going to be going out to you the day after Christmas. I promise. That's a promise. I got that from Sergeant Hack himself. He said that. So we are coming up on the bottom of the hour, and I got a couple of other ones here that I want to take a look at. So while we're doing that, this one. Okay. This is from Tom Glenn, and Tom's got a pretty interesting story here. It says, Christmas 1967. I was undercover as an enlisted man in the United States Army working with the troops near Ben Hoa in South Vietnam. I was an employee of the National Security Agency, but my cover was so deep that NASA redacted my name from its unclassified list of employees. My job was signals intelligence, the intercept and exploitation of radio communications of the Viet Cong and North Vietnamese that were invading South Vietnam. Between 1962 and 75, I was in Vietnam at least 4 months every year, providing direct support to U.S. Army and Marine units in combat. Had two complete tours in Vietnam and many shorter tours. I lost count. I'm going to skip that. Some of the other things he's talking about. That Christmas, 1967, as he huddled with soldiers, we ate sea rations sitting on the ground near the tents where we slept. We had discovered something big was up. We knew from intercepted communication that the enemy was preparing for attacks. We didn't know yet when. What chilled my blood was that the evidence we were gathering from intercepted communications was almost identical to the patterns I had observed a few months earlier, leading up to the Battle of Dak To in the Highlands. I learned that signals intelligence units all over the country were seeing a buildup of enemy troops. In the end, it says that the military commanders, including Westmoreland and MacVie, they didn't believe the military intelligence. Big surprise. And, of course, the Tet Offensive occurred at the end of January in 1968. It says, I'll never forget that Christmas. The men fighting by my side were my brothers. They willingly gave up their lives to save mine, and I risked mine to save theirs. On Christmas Day, we sat on the ground trading sea rations for our Christmas dinner, canned peaches, yum, for hash, baked rolls, for green beans, mashed potatoes for stew. We knew heavy combat lay ahead. We knew some of us wouldn't survive until next Christmas, so we sat in the dirt and wished each other a Merry Christmas. And that's from Tom Glenn. Tom has written a novel all about his experiences there, so I'm going to get back in touch with Tom It's got some interesting stories, it looks like.
Absolutely. You know, I'm reading through some of these others, and you know, not every one is combat-related.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these guys were away from home, and that didn't necessarily mean being in a war zone. Do we have time to share this one?
Do we have time? Yes, he says.
Okay, this is from Tony Tarkowski. He says that he'll never forget his first Christmas away from home in Heidelberg, Germany. Mm. It was December 12, 1968, and he arrived freezing cold in Frankfurt, waiting to find out where he was going to go next. And after several hours, he was only dressed in his summer green, so he was ready to go anywhere. Apparently, there was an announcement that said, anyone with a 94 Bravo 10 or Bravo 20 that wants to be a general's orderly, please come to room number XYZ. He didn't care what it was. He went. We'll have to finish.
Yeah, we've got
a break.
Yeah, we'll finish this story up after the break. We've got some other things that we'll be talking about. Come on, folks, give us a call at 734-822-1600. I can't win the jacket. Kate can't win the jacket, so we need you to call us and tell us your story. So we're going to be taking a break for the news, and we'll be back right after that.
Pacific. From somewhere in the South Pacific, we present the Bob Hope Show. Here on this Sunday morning, before nearly 2,000 wounded veterans of the Saipan, Tinian, and Guam campaigns, to the Fleet Hospital on the edge of a coconut grove, somewhere in the South Pacific, is Bob Hope and his UFO troop. Ladies and gentlemen, these wounded men have been through many bitter campaigns. What they're going to face now is ridiculous. Here he is, Bob Hope!
From somewhere in the South Pacific, Bob Hope seemed to be everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. What a great man. And I just learned that he is an unofficial, no, he is now an official veteran, right, Kate? I'm sitting here talking with Kate Melcher here of the Fisher House and also an Army captain helicopter pilot. And we were talking before the program about Bob Hope in the USO and so forth. And you said something about him becoming a veteran?
Yes, believe it or not, there's only two people in the history of the United States that have veteran status, even though they were not proper veterans.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was Bob Hope, and Congress conferred that honor on him in 1997. And the other is Zachary Fisher, and his honor was conferred in 1999.
As in Fisher House?
As in Fisher House, yes, sir.
Oh, okay. See how everything goes around, comes around, right? On a fairly regular basis. Well, we had a little story you were talking to about the guy who was in Germany. There he is.
Oh, okay. Yes. So he was in Germany, freezing cold in his summer greens and looking to do just about anything else. And it looks like he was volunteering for things that he didn't really know what he was in for. But the job that he took, he said that he got out of the cold and he was never sorry. He ended up working in Heidelberg in the headquarters hall, which ended up winning the first ever Philip A. Conley Award for the cleanest, best food in the world. And what a fantastic achievement.
Goodness.
I was never stationed there, and I'm sorry I wasn't.
I didn't know the Army won excellence awards for food.
I know. This is some sort of unicorn achievement here. But the Army recognized him as well. It looks like he got an Army Commendation Award and was promoted along with the entire group of cooks. So he said on Christmas in 1968, he didn't really know what all was going to come about, and he actually sat alone in his barracks and cried, all alone without family for the first time at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the worst feeling he could imagine. But now that he's back home and safe and fortunate enough never to have served in a combat zone, that experience changed his life. And he now spends time and talent and treasure trying to help other veterans be the best they can be.
Wow.
So really wonderful.
What was his name again?
His name was Tony Tarkowski.
Thank you, Tony. Yeah. Thank you for the note, and thank you for what you're doing.
you know, and speaking of karma, there's another good karma story in here. Right. So I love this. This is from Richard Powell. And Richard was in the Air Force back in 1972, and he was stationed in Illinois, and he was trying to fly home to West Virginia. And for whatever reason, you know, he couldn't get a flight until the next day, and that meant he wouldn't have any time at home with family. So he was sort of upset and sat on a bench in and had a pocket full of cash and noticed that there were a few homeless people in the area. So he walked over and, you know, gave them enough to get a room for the night and have a warm place to stay. And, you know, he thought, gosh, you know, these people should have a little bit of the Christmas spirit. You know, I can't make it home to my family, but I'm going to give these people what I have. And so he walked back into the terminal just to get some warmth, and he was going to call home and let his folks know that he wasn't going to make it home for Christmas. And the gate agent let him know that a seat had just opened up on a connecting flight, and he would make it home after all.
Awesome.
So there's a little bit of karma for the
yes,
Christmas spirit.
Yes, I would say so. Isn't it fun? I know that every once in a while, my wife encourages me to pick up the tab for, you know, especially if it's a veteran that we know, mm-hmm. that we don't know. But the other day we were in a Cracker Barrel, and the two gentlemen were sitting behind us. I don't know if they were veterans or not for sure, but the Christmas spirit came over us because they both had been laid off that day.
Wow.
From one of the auto companies. We didn't know which one. One was offered a transfer to Texas, but he says, oh, my family's up here. What do I want to go to Texas and so forth? So we decided that we would get, you know, the waitress came over and I said, just give us their bill. And it's such a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a good feeling. So I encourage you all out there, if you ever get the opportunity to do that, to do it. I mean, we can make donations to all the great organizations that we've talked about here on the program and that we talk about all the time. But sometimes that, you know, that once in a lifetime opportunity is right there. So I would encourage you to do that. Speaking of encouragement, there's an organization here locally that is called Warriors and Caregivers United. And I've got their new president, I believe, is on the air with us right now, and that is Stephanie Hall. Stephanie, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Merry Christmas to you guys.
Thank you very much.
I'm the vice president.
Okay, vice president. Well, you know, that line of succession
you've been
is here. So tell our audience, I know we've talked about Warriors and Caregivers on the program before, but it's got a special place in Veterans Radio heart. So could you tell us a little bit about what it is that you do, and tell us about that big party you had yesterday?
Yeah, we had our Christmas party yesterday, and we had a great turnout. Warriors and Caregivers United is veteran-run and caregiver-run. Everybody on our board is either a Vietnam veteran or an OIF, OEF veteran, or a caregiver to one of those veterans. We also have a surviving spouse on our board now. Mm-hmm. And our organization tries to aid in getting veterans out of isolation and the caregivers and their family members out of isolation. Mm-hmm. We want to give them a place to go that is safe and secure for the veterans, people that understand what they're going through, give resources to them. We make connections with the veterans. It's like when you're new to the service and you're going to a new unit and you don't know what you're getting yourself into, and then it ends up being family. And that's really what our goal is to make connections between the veteran and other veterans, caregivers and other caregivers, even the children. They make great friendships through our organization. Last night we had our Christmas party. We had 17 veterans, 14 caregivers, and 15 dependents.
Wow.
That includes grandchildren and children of veterans. They all came together. The children spent majority of the time just being kids, talking to each other, creating friendships amongst each other. And that's really what we like to encourage, friendships, continued connections. And our, like I said, our goal is to keep veterans out of turning to isolation, to help the caregiver get the veteran out of the house.
Sure. You know, it's so important. As I was listening to you speak, and it echoed what Mark Bernstein was talking about earlier on, the importance of breaking bread together, the importance of recreating a military family that's sometimes hard to find in the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. You know, without major active duty bases here, there aren't natural gathering places for veterans outside of the veteran service organizations, especially for the veterans that are my age that don't seem to be joining those groups. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate opportunities that Warrior and Caregivers United and folks for our less fortunate veterans that are providing immediate short-term housing, anywhere along the spectrum. It's all about bringing veterans together, bringing families together, recreating our military family to give us a little sense of stability and to give us a place to share our stories. Mm-hmm. It's exactly. So important what you're doing.
Yeah. Coming from being active duty military spouse, military retired, my ex-husband is military retired. He was blown up in Afghanistan. I stayed at a Fisher House myself in Richmond, Virginia. So I know Wonderful. The connections that you make at those places. The families just come together. One family will make dinner, and they'll offer everybody in the house, hey, come on, have dinner with us. And it's similar to those connections that I made at the Fisher House that we make at our events. Mm-hmm. When my ex-husband retired, we moved to Grayling, Michigan. I had no family, no friends. So I was very isolated myself. I had a job when I could work, and I didn't really make friends because they didn't understand what I was going through.
Right.
So when I met John Kinzinger, and he said, you know, I'd like to start this organization, I was all in because I knew what it felt like. And when we meet new families, new caregivers who are reaching out for us and saying, I need help with my husband, I can honestly say, I have been where you are. I understand what you're going through. Let me help you.
This is what your organization is all about, and this is why I wanted you to be on the program, especially at this time of year. There's a lot of emotion that goes along with Christmas, and how would anybody get a hold of you, especially in Michigan, but anywhere around the country, if they wanted to talk to you? How would they get a hold of you?
Yeah, we are open to anybody nationwide, even abroad. You can reach us on our Facebook page. You can email me. Stephanie@waku.org. We have other contacts also on the website, waku.org. My contact information is out there.
Okay.
I also run the events, so my number, 315-405-3967. I tell people, you can call me anytime, day or night.
Okay.
And if I can't help you, I will find somebody who will.
That's the point of these organizations. Each of you help each other out, and that's the theme, I guess I can say here, is that, you know, when we were in the service, we all had each other's backs, and the thing is now that we want to make sure people know that we still have their back, and that we will do anything that we can to make sure that they can move back into civilian life, which can be very traumatic for many veterans especially, and because it's just chaos out there. We're not used to chaos. So,
and our mission statement at Waku is Warriors and Caregivers United in connecting, supporting, and helping one another. So not only do the people on our board and the people in our organization that run behind the scenes want to help people, but the people within our community, the people that come to our events, mm-hmm. when they know something, they share it. You know, mm-hmm. this worked for me. So, I mean, really helping each other is really what it's all about.
It is. Mm-hmm. Stephanie Hall, thank you very much. This is warriorsandcaregiversunited.org, WACU.org. Go there, check it out, and they'll be there to help you, just like all these other organizations we've talked about today and that we talk about here on Veterans Radio. So, Stephanie, have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You too. Thank you, Dale, and thank you, Kate.
Thanks, okay. Stephanie.
All right. Hey, we got a phone call here. Somebody wants a winning jacket.
Hooray.
It's all right. All right. So we've got John from Ann Arbor. John? Hello.
Kate and Dale. John Kinzinger.
Oh, that's
John.
Oh,
hi, John.
Howdy,
great to hear from you. Merry Christmas.
Isn't that something? Stephanie was right on there before I went.
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
What?
I got to thinking about stories and such, and I said, you know, I bet I can find a letter that I wrote home. And here is a letter dated December 25th, 1966, Christmas Day, after the Christmas Eve before. Dear Mom and Dad, I'm not feeling too good this morning. In fact, I doubt if anybody in our Kama area is. Seems all of us celebrated a little bit too much last night. What a night it was. I'll never forget the Christmas I spent in Vietnam. I sure wish I was home, though. Spend it with all of you. But seeing how I can't, what else was there to do? Between some scotch and some Seagrams and some vodka, you can imagine what happened. It's all over with, and I slipped it off. Looks like old Charlie is sticking to the truce. At least around here he is. But none of us still trust him, so we are still on alert. The enclosed form is from a little Christmas show we had here. It's just a bunch of GIs who gave it, and it really wasn't too bad. Right now it's about 8:30 a.m. It's about 8:30 in the morning here, so you should be celebrating Christmas Eve now. Next year, I'll be home. So we'll all be together. I must close for now. I hope you all had a nice Christmas and a great wish for a happy new year. Love your son.
Thank you, John.
Wow.
Thank you, John.
Yep.
I appreciate that very much. And now,
Oh, you know, I so appreciate you sharing that because I grew up in such a different time, and my contemporaries in the service, you know, very few of us ever really would understand what it meant to not only be separated from your family, but to only be connected with letters.
Yes, we letters that would take 2 weeks to get a response from, you know.
Right.
Right. Just, 10-day minimum, it seemed like.
Oh, 10-day
minimum, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. You know, it was hard to imagine. You know, we used to be so upset. You know, when I was married, one of my ex-husband's deployments, he was downrange at Christmas, and his children were at my house on Christmas Day, and we were so upset because Dad couldn't be there for Christmas. But all we did was turn on the computer, and we had Skype. And he got to watch his children open their Christmas gifts.
Wow. Uh-oh.
And we thought that was a bad deal. You know?
Well, you know, during the Vietnam War, you know, you had each other. And, you know, that's who you celebrated Christmas with.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. And we mentioned that earlier on. How
We talked about the food that must be going onto the table for the family that on Christmas Day, you know, and how great mother's, you know, corn pudding or whatever it was, you know, that she was going to make, you know. Here you are eating sea rations. But,
right, yeah, it's just like the guy in the joke.
Use a little imagination, guys.
That's right, yeah, you just kind of transfer it over. The turkey in a can, it's carved turkey.
Yes.
Well, that's you guys, good show. And thank you, Kate, for all you're doing there with Fisher House.
It's an honor and my pleasure. Thanks for your support, John.
Thank you, John, very much. Say hi to Jane for us, please.
Bye.
Thank you.
Will do.
All right. It's John Kinzinger. He's a local veteran advocate personified, I guess you can say. I don't even know what. Emeritus and everything else out there for that. I have a note here that Sandy Wilson sent to us, and Sandy was a nurse in Vietnam, so I wanted to read part of this to you. It's been 50 years, and she still has flashbacks to our Christmas with the 11th Armored Cav up in Black Horse. Things have been rather quiet in respect for the relative safety. The officer of the 11th Cav had provided us, the officer of the 7th Surgical Hospital decided to celebrate the season with a cookout. Cookouts never ended well, it seemed like, in Vietnam. But it was so peaceful, and a Vietnamese interpreter was allowed to return to her family. Christmas packages from home were in abundance. We combined the food from home with steaks and fresh whole potatoes. Wow. Everyone joined in to make it an unforgivable evening. The grills were lit, and the goodies were laid out when helicopters started arriving. It was the combat choppers of the 11th Cav, as well as dust-off filled with wounded. We all abandoned the grills and ran to the receiving area. The Vietnamese civilians were also starting the Christmas season, and they were at church. Typical of the culture, the males were on one side of the packed church and females were on the other. The children were seated in front of the church with one older papasan there to supervise the boys. During the service, a white phosphorus grenade was thrown into the church, landing in the boys' section. One about 10 years old saw the danger. He ran over and picked up the grenade to throw it outside, and the grenade exploded in his hand, causing injury to many. There were defects in the hospital proper care. Our small hospital did not have physician specialists. We only had 7 available beds. Nobody in the hospital staff spoke Vietnamese, and none of the victims spoke English. These victims were triaged and logged in as Vietnamese 1 to Vietnamese number 27. Arrangements were made, and the most severely injured were transported by the same helicopters to other military hospitals there. We admitted 7 boys to our hospital. We finished with a mass casualty about midnight. No one could even consider a party. Christmas morning, the parents of those children walked the 6 miles from their homes to the hospital to see their children. They were surprised to see what condition they were in, and I believe in our haste we had admitted the victims in the best condition. Problem was, an interpreter explained to the parents that the other children had been sent to other military hospital for care. We knew which hospital the children had been transported to, but we only recorded the number and could not correlate the number with the name. We did know that their child was in 3 hospitals. Not a very merry Christmas. The day was spent contacting the other hospital to have an interpreter at least look up with the name of the children they received, and using a group of pilots to transport at least 1 parent to every victim. War is hell, and it just continues to be that way. And many times it doesn't stop for Christmas. And I think that the thing that we wanted to point out to everybody today is that we didn't want to be away from home, but we were doing our job that we'd signed up for. And I think that that's the message that we want to put out there. For all of you men and women who served or are continuing to serve in the service out there, you know that we are thinking about you, our prayers are there for you, and we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and that you all get home soon. And for all of you men and women that did serve in Vietnam or in Gulf War I or any other place who are now home, take a second to think about the men and women that you served with, and reach out for them. Many of them probably haven't heard from you in anywhere from 20 to 50 years, and I bet they'd be shocked to hear that. We got to pick our winner for our jacket here. So all these people that contacted us were just, as I said, Kate's going to throw the dart at it. So if you could just, I'll just spin this around, and you just point at a name, and we'll just go.
And right before I pointed out, there was one last story that we didn't get on here, and it was from Will Colbank, who talked about eating moose and bear while he was in Alaska.
Okay.
So let's see. It is?
Sandy Wilson. Or no, yes. Sandy.
Excellent.
We'll be sending you a notice to get size and address to mail this to you. So, yeah, let me, you did have his name on here. That was a guy in Illinois. Thank you, those that participated in the program. We got a minute to go. Okay, this is from Will Colbank. He was stationed in Galena, Alaska. I do not remember gifts or presents. Did we take the day off? No. We were the first line of attack as the Russians would play games with us. Our F-4s would take off, chase them away. This stuff's only in the movies, right? So, anyway, Will, thank you for sending us this. We'll do this again next year. I'm going to play some music by Toby Keith on the way out today, and it's American Soldier. And again, I want you to listen to it, think about it, reach for whatever device that you know how to use, and call your friends and say hello. And Kate, thank you very much for being on the program.
My pleasure.
Today, make sure that everybody out there that you support the Volunteers of America in downtown Detroit, along with the Call Sam Kitchen, which is kind of cool, and Fisher House, and the Warriors and Caregivers United. So until next week, you are dismissed.
I'm just trying to be a father. Raise a daughter and a son. Be a lover to their mother. Everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early. I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success. From my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money. There's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory. I just do it anyway. providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good on the pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost, I know the sacrifice. Oh, and I don't want to die for you, but if dying's asking me, I'll bear that cross with honor, cause freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier, an American, beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front lines, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier, I'm an American soldier. I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front line, to sleep in peace tonight. American soldier, I'm an American, an American.
WAAM Ann Arbor. Our First Amendment at work. Real public radio. Unbiased. Open and honest discussion.
24 hours a day.
Wham Radio.
Wham. Talk 1600.
Home for the holidays and